You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Willis Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Go ahead and turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. And, you know, today I want to minister to you about how God, He does the impossible. All right? And He does great things for us. He is a miracle worker. He gives peace. He gives joy in times that you can't have peace and joy, seemingly in the natural. He heals your body whenever your body's, you know, is dead and or dying, and the doctors or reports say that that's the case. You know, he supplies your needs whenever your bank account says that, you know, feed me. You know, He supplies your needs when those things happen. But you know, he is a God of the impossible. But we have to get a revelation of that. How many of you know that you've got to get a revelation of God's Word in order for it to be a factor in your life, for you to benefit from it, amen? And so you have to, God is the God of the impossible. You have to get a revelation that He is the God of the impossible. You've got to get a revelation of that so that you can believe it, amen? If you don't have the revelation, if it doesn't make sense to you, you don't understand it, you can't believe something you don't understand. I mean, you can't, you know, if it's not, you know, if you do this, and you have a revelation of doing that, getting the answer here. If you can get the revelation of it, you can understand that, you can believe it. God tells you, if you do this, I'm going to do that. If you can get a revelation that God wants to bless you, wants to heal you, wants to deliver you, and you get a revelation that, you know, if I just believe that's going to happen, then that can come to pass. Amen. So you got to get a revelation of it so you can actually believe it. You got to believe it so you can speak it. Amen. We're supposed to not only believe, but we believe with some action in our doing, in our hands and our emotions, but also with our mouth. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Dad preaches a message, you know, about the mouth and speaking life into, you know, life is being put into what is spoken, you know, breathes life into it. And when you speak it, you're breathing life into the thing you're speaking about. And I forgot who it was, the minister that said this, but I think it was Norval Hayes. Yeah, I think it was. Norval Hayes, because I remember how he did it. He's, I believe this is right. He says, "You are your mouth, and that's all you'll ever be." He was kind of bold. He didn't hold anything back. So I'm telling you right now, brother and sister, you are your mouth, and that's all you'll ever be. But that's right. I mean, you are what you say. You know, I taught a message a while back on what are you saying? What are you saying about yourself? So it's important that you get a revelation of it, so you can believe it, so that you can speak it, and because when you, you know, as a result of when you speak it, you're going to bring it to pass. You know, that's going to happen. Our God doesn't lie. He's not a son of man that he should lie, or a man that he should repent, or man, get it all backwards. He's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. He's not going to lie to you. There's no variableness or shadow of turning with Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He ever healed anybody, He's going to heal today. He's no respecter of persons. He's not going to heal Elizabeth and not heal me or you. You know, he's going to do the same for everybody. And there's only, you know, a few conditions here. You got to get a revelation of the Word. You got to believe it. You got to stand on it. You got to speak it. And it's going to come to pass. Amen. Amen. So in Matthew 16, I was kind of springboard off of this and get into this great teaching. Amen. In verse 13, Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say I am, or say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You know, I'm kind of like Dad sometimes. I want to quote King James, and I get tongue-tangled when I'm reading in the New King James. But, you know, like him who preached it for so many years, I heard it for all those years too, so it's kind of in me. "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, okay, now this is what's important, guys. You know, you can listen to what the world says about your situation. You can hear what other people have to say about your situation. But what Jesus is really interested in, what God's really interested in, is this next question. He said to them, okay, that's all fine and well, but guys, who do you say that I am? We've got to get a revelation of who God is. Who are you saying that God is? Who is God to you? Is He your Father God, the provider, the healer, the peace giver? I mean, I think sometimes we get kind of wrapped up and caught up in the situation, and we're down and depressed, or, you know, about this, that, and the other. Or we're sick, and we don't have a real true revelation of the fact that God is a compassionate God. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He is hanging over the edge of heaven, listening out for somebody to call His name, somebody to speak His word and believe so that He can do it. I mean, He wants to. He is waiting for you to make a move. He made His move already, you know, like in checkers or chess. He's already made His move. He sent Jesus. Jesus came, and He died, and He wore stripes on His back. He rose again from the dead, stripes on His back so you could be healed, rose again so you could be saved, delivered, set free, sins being forgiven, and made righteous, and go to heaven. He's already made the move. He's made the promises. He said, if you'll do this, you'll speak this, you'll do this, you'll do this, this, these things will come to pass. Now, He's waiting on us to make a move. How many of you know that if you aren't confident in something, generally you don't make a move? Isn't that right? You know, ooh, man, I'm just not sure about that. You're not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, usually that's the way it is, you know. Should I go, you know? So with us, it's always like, you know, where do you want to go eat? You know, I'll eat anywhere. I mean, except for Chinese food. I'm not real big on Chinese food, but I'll eat anywhere. I mean, I'll eat seafood, Mexican food, yeah, Italian. Now, Jonathan, he doesn't really like seafood, so I had to pick on him. I love seafood. I mean, I love shrimp, and I love, you know, I love calamari, you know, fried calamari. And does it sound good to you? Is it tasty? But, you know, yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to get out quick, sister. Making you hungry. But, you know, I'll eat anywhere. And Sissy, or if we're going out with somebody else, a lot of times, you know, we're like, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. You want to eat there? Yeah, that's great. I don't know. You want to eat? Let's eat over here. Is that where you want to go? Well, I don't care. Do you want to go there? Yeah, sure, I'll go there. Well, I don't know. As long as we're unsure about this, as long as we don't have a lot of confidence in, you know, the place, we're not going anywhere. In fact, you know, it's like the I don't know, that little movie that the kids over the hedge, you know, it's kind of a neat little ironic turnaround. The little munchkin kids, the little porcupines, are driving this car, and all the they're, you know, animals. They're all in this big vehicle, and the parents are arguing. You know, the kids can drive because they've played all the video games. You know, so they're driving because, oh, we can drive. This is just like, you know, Speedster Arcade, whatever, you know. So they jump up, start driving this car, and the parents start arguing, and the kids turn around and say, there'll be no arguing. I'll turn this car around, mister. You know, we get to trying to figure out where we're going to go eat, and I'm like, hey, look, I'm going to pull over until we decide because, you know, we're just driving. We eliminate a lot of choices if I just keep driving sometimes, you know, because they get so far away, and then we only have so many choices to go. But if you're unsure about something, you're not going to go anywhere anytime soon. We need to be sure of God's Word. We've got to be confident in God's Word. We need to know who God is to us. What are we saying about Jesus? Who do we say Jesus is to us? Jesus is my healer. Yes. That's what I say about Jesus when I have, you know, sin in my body and I need it out. I need it gone. Jesus, you're my healer. When I get a revelation of Jesus being my healer, man, it just makes it all easy. I mean, it's easy. I don't have to worry about it. Jesus is going to heal me. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to confess His word. I'm going to stand on His word. And God's going to heal me because I have a revelation that God is my healer. He wants to heal me. It's not like I'm having to beg Him or plead and say, you know, Father God, if you heal me, I tell you what, I'm going to serve you. And no, you need to speak the word and believe that God's going to heal you, and He's going to heal you. Amen. Amen. It's He wants to. He doesn't need you to, you know, to make all these promises, you know, like we sometimes want to do. I tell you what, Father God, if you do that, if you get me out of this jam right here, boy, I tell you, I'll never mess up again, you know, like that. You know, no, you just need to ask God to heal you or deliver you or set you free or give you peace, give you joy, amen? And He's going to do it. He wants to do it. Get a revelation of who He is. Let me explain to you how important that is. Let's go on down. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, Peter knew what this was all about. He got this thing figured out. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He had been around Jesus long enough to figure that much out. And let's go on in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you." Blessed are you. When you get a revelation of who God is, blessed are you. You're going to be blessed. Amen. I'm not getting very far with this. This is like, you know, I got this much more to go. And I'm "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say," this is important, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." What was, you know, a lot of people would say Peter is actually, you know, stands for, or the word translates into, a pebble or a rock. He wasn't saying he's really going to build the church on Peter. Peter wasn't the foundation of the church. It was the rock of the revelation, the rock of revelation knowledge, the rock of understanding that Jesus was the Christ and he was the Son of God. Whenever you realize that Jesus is the Son of God and he's the Christ and he's risen from the dead, then you can become saved. Amen. And the church was built on the revelation of Jesus being the Savior. That's what church is all about. We come to church to hear about Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And to expand the kingdom and the gospel means to get the revelation knowledge to all the other people. And that revelation knowledge builds the church. Amen. All right. So, and it says here that, the, you know, he's going to build, this is the rock that he will build the church on. "And the gates of hell," I love this, "the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Two things that we need to bring out here. First of all, as a kid, you have these pictures, mental pictures too, but I found out that there's actually some adults that have these same mental pictures, and that it wasn't just being a kid that you have these pictures, you know, in your mind. You know, sometimes people just, you know, have you ever talked to somebody on the phone that you've never seen in person? Yeah? Okay. You know, and I don't know, I just, you know, after a few times of talking to somebody, you just start, you know, your mind tries to associate people or you know, a picture with somebody. And so you kind of have in your mind, you know, I'll bet you they're probably an older person or they're a younger person, depending on the voice. You know, you hear the voice and you know, most of the time you're wrong. But, you know, I see people I talk to on the phone. I'm like, you are nothing like I thought you looked like, you know, talking on the phone, you know. Whether, you know, I was way off on the age or, you know, I was just thinking, boy, that person sounds like a gruff, tough guy, you know, boy, ooh, you know, big, deep voice, strong voice, you know, you're thinking, well, this guy, man, he's a big old stout guy. You know, it turns out to be like, you know, shorter than I am, weigh 20 pounds less. But, you know, I had this picture in my mind when I was a kid, too, you know, and just because ministers would say this, you know, so I get this picture in my head. But, you know, the gates of hell are not running around chasing people, Christians, trying to attack them. I mean, I don't know if you've ever, you know, thought about it. It's the gates of hell won't prevail against us. They can't stop us. We're on the move. We're on the attack. I know a lot of people, they want to say, well, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Bless God, you know, the devil's attacking me, but the gates of hell will not prevail against, you know, Christians, believers, who understand and know who they are in Christ. It's, the gates aren't attacking anybody. We're taking over. Yes. Amen. Say, I'm taking over. The devil is not taking over. We're not going to let the devil take over. We've got a revelation of who we are. And that revelation knowledge, having that revelation knowledge, the church, the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. They can't withstand what the church is going to do. They can't hold back the movement of the church through the world. They can't hold back people getting healed and set free and delivered because people are getting a revelation of who they are and who God is and who God is in their life and who they are in Christ. I mean, they're getting a revelation of all this. And hell can't stop that. The devil can't stop that. Now, he'll try. He'll try, and the way he tries is he tries to get you disassociated with church, with reading your Bible, you know, with people that are going to encourage you. He'll try to keep you away from the Word. That's his only deception that he has, is lies. He tries to get the Word from getting in you, because it takes getting the Word inside of you for that revelation to come. Amen. And Peter had been around Jesus long enough to realize who he was. Well, we've got to spend some time with God. We've got to spend some time with Jesus. We've got to spend some time in church with fellow believers. We've got to spend some time in his Word. Amen. And God said this about his people. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The devil knows that better than anybody. He knows that better than anybody. He knows that you will be destroyed if you don't know that you can be healed. If you don't know, if you don't know that God wants to deliver you and set you free, that's the only way he's going to keep you from being delivered and set free, saved, is if you don't know it. That's why it's so important that we've got to study the Word. We've got to be in the Word, instant in season and out of season. We've got to study to show ourselves approved. We've got to get the Word of God inside of us. Because if we don't, we will be destroyed. We won't have a revelation. We'll be unsure. We won't know, well, does God really want me to have? Does God want this for me in my life? What does He? Like I said before, if you're unsure, you're going nowhere anytime soon. You know, you're staying right there. You're not moving anywhere. You've got to be sure. To be sure, you've got to spend some time. You know, I know, Dad uses this example all the time. I know my wife. I call her Sissy. Cecilia. Or Cece. Sissy. Sessie. Sister. You know, she has all these names. But anyway, I call her Sissy because, for those who don't know, you know, I've known her since third grade. Went to school with her all my life, and that was her nickname, was Sissy, which is a little confusing whenever you know you're in a big crowd and your wife, you're calling her Sissy, and people are going, huh? Anyway, but I know Sissy very well. Somebody came up to me and told me that Sissy, you know, did this, you know, robbed a bank or whatever, I'd be like, no. Now, Jonathan. I've actually known Sissy longer than I have Jonathan. It's not his fault. I mean, he wasn't born yet, so. No, I'm just teasing. But if you don't know somebody very well and somebody said, can you believe that guy robbed a bank? I'd be like, well, I really don't know him. He might have done that. Man, you know, wow. It's crazy. Isn't that crazy? Y'all know that guy robbed that bank? And, you know, and I would be unsure about it. But because I know Sissy, I know she wouldn't do that. Can you believe God? Can you believe God did this to me? I tell you what, my life was going great. And I tell you, I just, like, God just put the brakes on me. And just, you know, I tell you, I've been fighting this sickness. And I know God's trying to teach me something. Are you crazy? I know God better than that. I spent time with Him. He doesn't do that. My God, he heals. He came to destroy the works of the evil one. Not join in. But I know that because I spent some time with Him. I know my Lord. I know my God. I know Jesus. I know who He is to me. That's not right. You know, that's not right. I get confidence by the time I spend with Him. The association that I have with God. That comes by having encouragement of other people. You've got to associate with friends that are of like mind. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to stay hooked up with believers. You know, come to church, have good, the right friends. You know, have the right friends, and then on a personal note, spend time with God. You know, read your Bible, listen to praise music. I'm not trying to pick on certain people, and you know, if you do this, I don't know it. Okay, I promise. I'm just. So, you know, don't say, oh, my goodness, he's talking to me, because then I'll know it's you. But, you know, listen to Christian music. Watch, if you're going to watch a movie, don't watch movies that, you know, are full of junk. I mean, it's garbage in, garbage out. You know, it's too many scriptures to back all that up. I won't get to them all. Let's turn to Luke. Luke 6. Luke 6. This will work. We can do this. Luke 6. Garbage in, garbage out. You know, Dr. Galloway, Kay's the one that always said that. You remember, Kay used to always tell the boys. And she would tell us in children's church. She'd say, garbage in, garbage out. What goes in is going to come out. You can't. There's way too many examples that are, you know, piling up in my head, you know, of you know, things that kids say, you know, in public and embarrass their parents. Well, their parents are the ones that said it in private, you know, in front of the kids. I said it, you know, and then they picked it up from me or whatever, you know. They hear, they're little sponges. We are sponges, just like they are. You know, we're all mimicking, and we talked about, I've ministered along being imitators of God. We all mimic somebody. We're all copycats. We're all, you know, saying the same things that we heard somebody else say. We're acting like somebody else. We're doing some, you know, let's make sure that our role model, our you know, guide, our hero, our idol is Jesus. And then the rest of it we don't have to worry about. But, you know, what goes in is what's going to come out. You've got to get the Word of God on the inside of you, down inside your heart. Okay, this will work right here. All right. Let's start verse 43, Luke 6, 43. Did I say Luke 6? Okay. Luke 6, 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bush. Verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance, everybody look at this right here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We've got to get full of the Word. We've got to get pumped up on Jesus, on the Scriptures. It's what goes in here and gets on the inside of you. Whoops, sorry. I get on to Dad for doing that, and then I did it. It's what's on the inside of you that's going to come up out of you. You know, everybody knows well, I say everybody, might be dating myself. How many of you have seen the little Pillsbury Doughboy? You know, you poke him. You can raise your hands, okay? Okay, good. All right, I'm not alone. All right, so, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know, you push him, he goes, hee-hee-hee. Well, you know, I just have this picture of whenever, you know, I'm like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Can y'all see me? You see it? Okay. But I'm full of the Word. I'm full of the gospel. And so when Fred comes along and he tries to poke me, you know, so, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24. And, you know, then I come over here and I bump into Jonathan over here, you know. Oh, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Every time you get bumped or prodded and the devil comes and tries to jab you, everything that comes out of you is the Word of God. Because what's on the inside of you is what's going to come out of you in the form of words. In the form of, you know, spoken word, your mouth. And so, you know, we have got to know that it's important to spend time with God and spend time in His Word. Amen. That's where the revelation comes from. You hear Dad say it all the time, over and over again. I must have read this scripture a million times and I never saw that. I do the same thing. I read scripture, I'm like, wow, does it really say that? You know, I just never saw that before, and I've read that thing a million times. It takes a million and one times sometimes to get the scripture or the point that's being made in that light. You've got to read it over and over again. It's not read it once and then, you know, I'm one and done. You know, just read it one time, then I'm out of here. No, it's you got to read it over and over again. And by reading it over and over again and spending more time and more time really getting to know God, really getting to know Him, really getting to know His Spirit, making your spirit and His Spirit one, you know, joining up with God, that's when that's whenever you get it down in your knower. You know what I mean? You heard of that before, you know? Well, I just knew down in my knower. You know, I just knew it down in my knower, you know, that God was going to take care of that situation, you know. It's talking about the knower. knowing down the inside, you know, of you, and the Spirit revealing things to you. That's, you know, the Spirit, the God's Spirit is the revealer. How many of you know that? Amen. God's Spirit is the revealer. And when Jesus left, He told us He wouldn't leave us comfortless. He wouldn't leave us alone. He would leave us with somebody that would lead and guide us and direct us and reveal things to us. And that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, you know, this the Spirit, it I tell you what, man, is it awesome. I mean, how many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell you what, you're unstoppable. You know, it was not until Jesus was filled with the Spirit that He started His miracle ministry and really started to just explode, you know. And it wasn't until Jesus even told the disciples, He said to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And the power was the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, they go up in the upper room, they pray, and then the Holy Spirit falls on them, and then they jump out there, and Peter, you know, timid, scared to death, didn't want to confess Jesus that he even knew him whenever Jesus was, you know, being, you know, put through the court trials and all that stuff. They're saying, you know Jesus? Oh, no. He denied him 3 times. This guy's scared. He wasn't bold about anything, you know. Peter, that same Peter, jumped out there and started preaching and telling all these people about Jesus and about, you know, what he's going to do, what he could do for them. And you know, 2,000-3,000 people get saved. And the same Peter, you know, goes, they heal a guy and they get put before, the, you know, all these, you know, judges, we'll say, you know, trying to condemn them. And it says that, you know, Peter, with all boldness, started speaking. Well, he'd gotten a change of heart. He'd gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a powerful thing. And it is a revealer. It's down in, you know, you sense things sometimes in your spirit. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, people listen, they want to hear God. They want to hear, you want to hear a, you know, voice from God. You know, a lot of times God speaking to you is just you having peace about something. I mean, that's really God telling you something. A lot of times you just have peace or you don't have peace. And so you don't do what you don't have peace about because you just don't do it. And so, you know, there's things that you just know sometimes down in your knower. Certain people, you know, I'm not saying by any means I'm some kind of psychic or anything like that. But, you know, certain people you meet, you just don't have a good feeling about. Something's not right with that guy, you know. And it turns out, you know, the guy was a thief, or, you know, he was a liar or whatever it may be, and he, you know, caused some harm or damage to people. And there's been times that I've told Sissy, my wife, for those that didn't know, Sissy, my wife, I don't have peace about that person, you know. And it's, you know, we need to pray for them, you know, and believe God they get a change of heart. But I just don't have peace about the person, and turned out it was right. It wasn't me. That was just the Holy Spirit. You know, guarding me from getting involved with somebody or you know, getting, you know, in the wrong, getting a trap or whatever. But, you know, and there's peace about the right things to do. Peace about, you know, starting a church, coming to Wills Point, Texas, you know, or going on the mission field like Eva did. And then also, you know, one time, and we'll tile this back in, I promise, because God is a God of the impossible, and we got a revelation of that, amen. But, you know, Francine, I was in a real bad car wreck, and Sissy and I were, my wife Sissy, we're on our way to Louisiana on a vacation trip, and I mean, it was just, you know, it was just a miracle, not that she had a wreck, it was a miracle how God worked everything else out for us. We didn't have reception or cell phones, or forgot our cell phone or something, and we were with a guy that had a cell phone. He's a different truck. And we just happened to stop at a gas station. And we had actually left a lot later than we wanted to. And so we weren't but 45 or about 35 minutes, I guess, away. We stopped at the gas station real quick. And they called whenever Francine had this wreck and got a hold of us through this guy that had a cell phone. Yeah, he's right here. We just stopped at the gas station. Otherwise, we might have been separated for a little while, you know. But so anyway, they got a hold of us. And we rushed back over here. Francine, you know, if you don't know the story, she they had covered her up at the scene of the crime. Sissy's mom, sorry, Francine and Sissy's mom. They covered her up at the accident and just basically gave up on her, and she was, by all intents and purposes, dead. And there were people praying, like on the corners, in street corners, that seen the accident and everything. There were people praying for Francine. And somebody said, you know, I think she moved, and so they run back over there, and they start to work on her again, and they care flight her to doubt. Long story short, you know, she had died like three times, and they had to bring her back, but, you know, she's alive and well today. We had met Mom and Dad here at the church, jumped in the car with them. And we take off to the hospital, and I remember Sissy said, God's good, amen? I'm just, you know, in the joy. She told my dad, you know, tell me something good. And because she didn't want to hear anything bad, you know. We didn't even get to Elmo, I think it was. I remember the spot we were coming into Elmo. And he said, because he knew down in his nowhere, he said, you know what, Sissy? I just have a peace that God, and I'm not just making this up, that she is going to live and not die. She is going to be fine. She's going to make it. He says, I'm not just making that a confession of faith, per se, you know, unto faith. Sometimes you're confessing unto faith. You know, you need to do that. If you're not really believing, you keep confessing until you just know for sure and you know her, you know. But he said, I'm not just saying that to sound good and sound like I'm making a bold confession of faith. He says, I know that in my spirit. You know, I believe God told me that, you know, the Spirit's revealed to me and that Francine's going to be just fine. And of course she was. But, you know, that's the kind of knower that we need to have. We got to have that confidence, you know, and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to God speaking to you. And then you'll know. And when you know, then you know. Yeah. And you know, when you get there, there you are. And you can't go where you hadn't been, and you can't come back from where you hadn't been. Well, you can go where you hadn't been, but when you get there, you'll be there. And but you know, it's interesting too. At this point in our lives, we can know the truth, and we can know what God has in plan and in store for us. Because of Scripture, because of Jesus.
That's right.
You know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a real revelation, you know, of who God was. They were a little bit confused. And you don't want to base your theology on God or about God on the Old Testament, because there's some things in there that they just didn't know. Isn't that ironic? They just didn't know. So they didn't have a real revelation of the devil and God. Some didn't realize that the devil even existed, so they just thought God was in control of everything. And I won't mention any names, but, you know, like their initials are Job. I mean, J. But anyway, and the Scripture tells us that. You know, and so you can't base your theology of God on Old Testament Scripture. There's some good things in the Old Testament, obviously. The Old Testament was the New Testament concealed, kind of eluded, to gave you hints and pointers and all that stuff about what was going to take place. The New Testament, everybody take your hand and do like a big sword and make the swoosh sound like Star Wars. All right, here we go. Old Testament, New Testament. What was the poosh? That was Jesus. Yeah. All right, Jesus came. When Jesus came, now the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. All right? And we find out, you know, I just quote. For sake of time. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Okay. Jump down to 14. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Who was that?
Jesus.
All right. And verse 17. Jump to 17. The law came by Moses, but what came by Jesus? Anybody know? Two things. Grace and truth. Grace and truth Everybody say truth and make your voice go, woo, truth came by Jesus. We that's right. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Hallelujah. And in John 14:6, we know that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right, so, you know, when Jesus, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 15 minutes. TikTok. Is this good? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to have to go through this really fast, because there's way too much good stuff in here. I might have to do it like I did John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Word became flesh, John 1:14. 17, law came. Okay, here we go. Y'all ready? 2 Corinthians 3. We had to set it up. Verse 2. You are an epistle. You are our epistle. You're my epistle. I'm your epistle. The people that are in the world, we're the epistle of the people in the world here. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. It's not us. Everybody say it's Jesus. 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 Say it again, it's Jesus. Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus. Say it again, it's Jesus. Jesus. All right. Mom, all the time, she comes in, you know, who's the healer? Jesus. Jesus. Where our parts lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Who's going to heal them?
Jesus.
All right. Who's our Savior?
Jesus.
Whose name do we call on and we're saved?
We
run into the strong tower and we're safe. The strong tower of the name of
Jesus.
Okay. So who we are. It's not us. It's Jesus. But our sufficiency is from God. Amen. Well, what came from God? Yes. Jesus. Okay. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Okay. Now just hold on to that for a minute. We're going to jump over to something here, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Because we have found this faith in Jesus, because we have found this confidence in Jesus, because we have been written with the Spirit, and the Spirit brings life, and now the Spirit's on the inside of us here, we have this great boldness of speech. Amen? Unlike Moses, now we're going to jump here for a minute about this veil thing and about how that the Old Testament wasn't, you know, they couldn't really understand everything, but now in the New Testament we can. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily on at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in who? Jesus. You know, whenever Jesus... When Jesus rose from the dead, or you know, Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, the veil was rent or torn, the curtain that separated the holiest of holies. You know, the you could go into the temple, but only the priests could go into this certain section of the temple called the holiest of holies. You know, they had to be without spot. You know, in quick history. You know, they would tie little bells on, and, you know, if the guy entered in there with sin in his life and they heard the bells stop ringing, you know, they'd pull him out with a rope because he was dead. Okay, because you couldn't go into the holiest of holies with sin. And so that wasn't open to everybody. That was only open to a select few. But when Jesus died and rose again, that, in the temple, that curtain or that separation was rent from top to bottom.
Amen.
And it opened up the way for all to enter into the holiest of holies. For all to enter. We can all go to God now because why? Because Jesus took our sin away. And we can call on Him and be saved, and our sin's gone, and now we can enter in. Amen? So this is what, you know. At the same time, this darkness will just say, like, you know, sunshades almost, you know. In the Old Testament, we're kind of cool. We had the sunshades on. And in the New Testament now, the shades are pulled down. We can see now more clearly. When Jesus came, he tore the veil and opened it up for him. But he also brought took the blinders off. Amen. Okay, so here we go. That's where the law comes by Moses, and grace and truth comes by Jesus. When Jesus came, the truth was more evident, more revealed. You know, he revealed God truly, who God really was. Jesus was the express image of God, and we talked about that in another message too. All right, let's read on. Because the veil was taken away in Christ, verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Yeah. As Christians, we see clearly. Yeah. You know, I can see clearly now. The veil is gone. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, whenever you get in God's presence, whenever you go through life and you have things that happen to you all the time, you know, and you carry these weights sometimes that you really shouldn't be carrying. And you know, it's just, to me, it's, you know, I make this analogy, and it, hopefully you can, you know, understand, see this too, and it happens to you probably. You know, you come into worship service like on a Wednesday, and you've had a rough couple of days of work or whatever, 2-3 days of work, and you come in, And you get to the service, and boy, I tell you what, you just get in the worship service, and you just really get in God's presence, and man, you just feel so much freer. You know, you just, all that junk falls away. You really getting your focus in on God, you know. And had I just done that Monday, you know, when all that started, I would have been free every day, you know. And on Tuesday again, if I just worshiped God and got His presence and spent time with Him, you know, then that would have been gone again. But you know, but how many of you experienced that? You get in the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit's there, the anointing's there. You know, the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And that's the Holy Spirit. You know, and the Spirit, where the Spirit is, there's freedom, there's liberty. And so when you get a hold of God's Word and you get the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you are free. Amen. Everybody say, I am free. And you can say that about everything that may be coming against you in your life. I'm free from sickness. I'm free from depression. I'm free from debt. You know, I am free. I am. I've got a revelation of that. I believe it. I'm speaking it, and I'm going to get it. Amen. I am free. I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of the living God. I know who God is. He's my provider. He's my healer, my redeemer, my savior. You know, I know who He is. And because I know that, and the Spirit of God dwells and resides on the inside of me, I've got freedom. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, we kind of jumped over. We talked about how that the Spirit gives life. You know, we talked about in the beginning how that God is the God of the impossible. So we're trying to make a round trip here. We've got all this revelation now. Let's look at a couple of scriptures and let's apply this in our life real quick. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes here. Let's look at, tell you what, let's turn to Romans. Romans 8. Let's get a little bit of the word in us real quick. Let's take what we've learned here and start to apply it. Amen. Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, how many of you have Christ in you? Amen. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, how many of you have the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead? Amen. Amen. If you have the Spirit in you, the same one that raised Christ from the dead, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The King James Version says it quicken, it makes alive, it brings life. So it says, you know, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you will quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. Amen. Let's go to John 6:63. Let's here. John 6:63. It says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Matthew 19:26 talks about how things that are impossible in men are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And it's this, the words that you speak, that's important. The Spirit gives life, verse 63. It's the Spirit that gives life. But like Dad ministers before too, when you speak it, you're breathing life into the things. Okay? It's, you know, you're breathing life into it by speaking it. So you're giving it life. You're giving it like a spirit, we'll say, you know, by breathing life into it. You know, and this is not a going to heaven or not going to heaven belief or, you know, idea or concept, but you know, whenever it talks about how God made man and he formed him from the dust, and you know, and it says that he breathed life into them. You know, he created everything else, and he did everything else with his mouth to that point. You know, he said, "Let there be light," and he, you know, called the fish of the sea and the birds of the air into being, and the trees and you know, the waters and the earth. He, you know, formed everything with his mouth, formed everything with the word. And the word was Jesus, okay? And so, and I just can't help but thinking, you know, I agree with Dad on this. I concur with Dad. He says this, and I think absolutely. You know, I can't help but think that whenever, you know, he created man, formed him in his likeness and his image, and it says that he breathed life into him, I can't help but think that he just went, "Live." Live. He breathed, he spoke life into him. Have life. Maybe a different way to look at it. You know, not that he just like breathed air into him, but you know, maybe he did. But I just, you know, it'd be kind of neat to, if, you know, because he did everything else by speaking, he did everything else by saying, you know, words. And I just can't help but think that he probably did the same thing. Live, you know, or have life. Come alive. You know, it's just kind of neat. But anyway, so the words, or the Spirit, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You've got to speak the word. You've got to speak the word. I tell you what, let's turn, we're running out of time. Let's go to Isaiah. And we may close out with this, and I may just quote a couple other scriptures. Isaiah 54. We're just learning a few things here in the scriptures. We're building a little bit of building a little bit up in our hearts here, some word to go on. And so we're going to take this and apply it in our lives. Isaiah 54 verse 17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." No weapon formed against you will prosper. No cancer formed against you will prosper. No debt formed against you will prosper. You know, you name it. Nothing. Have you got something in your life that you need a miracle? You need the God of the impossible to do something for you? I mean, do you? Anybody? Okay, well, name that thing and say that whatever it is, that weapon formed against me will not prosper. It will not prosper. You know, and it says here, "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, for their righteousness is from me." The righteousness comes from God. You could replace, and I don't think this is, you know, altering the scripture, we'll say. This is just applying a principle in our life here. You know, their righteousness is from me. My healing is from God.
That's right.
No sickness formed against me will prosper. My healing is of God.
Amen.
No debt formed against me will prosper. My prosperity is from God.
Amen.
No depression, no mully grubbing formed against me will prosper.
Amen.
My joy comes from God. My joy comes from God. We got a revelation of who we are. We got a revelation of who He is. He is the one that supplies me with joy. Amen. So joy formed against, no bad thing formed against is going to prosper. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to have joy because joy comes from God. My joy comes from God. Amen? We have a revelation of that. Do you have a revelation of that?
Amen.
We could go another hour. I could preach it again. Do you have a revelation of that?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, do you not see that? No weapon formed against you will prosper. It is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. His righteousness, it comes. We get the righteousness from Him. Apply it in your life. Make it personal. Whatever it is that you need. You know, and I'll just close with this. In Acts, I mentioned this story actually earlier. In Acts, Peter and John went to pray. The lame man on the way, he stuck out, you know, his palms, asked for arms, and they gave him legs. Stuck out his palm, asked for alms. And this is what Peter did say. Remember the song? Okay. And he got healed. And then they brought Peter and John in. And they're all, boy, they're upset, you know, because they used the name of Jesus to heal this guy. And then he prayed a prayer after they got released. You know, he spoke with all boldness. And he went back and they rejoiced. All the people rejoiced, you know, that, you know what? God is great. You know, we're getting in trouble for healing people and doing the work of God, but you know what? God's great. And Father God, give us confidence, boldness. That we, you know, on our behalf here, we want to speak Your word boldly. Amen. We want to speak Your word boldly. And so, you know, let's read it real quick. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it real fast because it's good. You have to just get it. And sometimes seeing it with the whites of your eyes just makes it even better. Amen? So it says, now look at their threats. Look at how they threaten us. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word. Amen. With all boldness they may speak Your word. And then, skip down to Scripture, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. I mean, it was shaken. Pray for boldness, there'll be some shaking going on.
Yeah.
Amen? And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.